I'm very excited because I'm with someone now that I've known for many years. We had a bit of a gap of knowing him, but he's just a great guy to know generally. Richard Feidler, how are you?
Hello, Maynard. I'm very well. How are you?
Oh, look, I'm fine. First of all, let me pass on all the messages on Twitter and other various forms of social media. When I said I was interviewing you, I said, any messages? And everyone just wanted to say hello, say how much they enjoyed you as an interviewer, and everyone wanted to know how is your health because you had a bit of an accident and you're looking quite fine now, but a lot of people were concerned about you.
Oh, that's very nice. That's fine. Thank you for asking. My health's excellent. Actually, apart from a cold that I've got since I'm perfectly well, yeah.
And the other thing that's happened this week is a bit of a trope, a bit of a meme. I put up an old photo of us from 1990 at Preston Girls High School when Triple J first started in Melbourne. You and the other guys, Paul and Tim, what's his name, you know, came
those
along,
guys,
yeah,
yes.
Sang some songs. And it's just one of those classic old photos that caught a great moment, didn't it?
I know. And what's quite amazing is you're quite ageless, Maynard. You don't look any different. I don't know how that's happened. What have you done?
It's the face pulling. See, when you pull a face at any age, you're going to look stupid.
Yeah, I remember that morning. That was a Triple J event you had us on for. And it was only for you that we would get up at that hour of the morning, of course.
Look, there was a couple of artists that I would regularly walk across glass to have on my show. There was yourself, Bob Down, Tism were three of the big pillars of the Triple J Breakfast Show that I just loved at that time. And you guys were so professional.
That's right. We'd show up and be teased by you and have a lot of fun.
Yeah, and they were a bit puzzled because no one knew in Melbourne what Triple J was then.
That's right. It was brand new going nationally, wasn't it? That was very new, yeah.
For people that missed out on what you're doing now, you're living, working in Queensland, and you do nationally the Conversation Hour every day.
Oh, it's actually called Conversations now, just to make it different from... John Fain does a show in Melbourne called The Conversation Hour, so we just call out one Conversations with Richard Feidler to make it different, that's all.
You speak to such incredible people, but sometimes the best interviews are with ordinary people that no one knows, and but they're very difficult to find.
That's right. They're very hard to find, and they're the best ones to do, though. Everyday people that aren't particularly famous. They're the absolute favourite guests we have on the program, people who've seen and done amazing things who aren't particularly well-known in beyond their own smaller communities. And when we find them, though, and they're right, they're just fantastic. And listeners respond most intensely to those guests because they feel they can measure their own lives against the lives of the people they're hearing.
Well, ultimately, when you often listen to a lot of interviews, you try and take away something that is useful for your own life. Someone's often had a challenge of some sort and overcome it. You can go, oh, well, I did that, or maybe I can do that.
Yeah, I think that's true. And also, your own failures too. I think it's kind of good to be open about that. And, you know, where things gone horribly wrong and you've just walked away from the smouldering ruins of something going, oh, my God, why did I do that? Or, oh, I got that really wrong. I mean, people are kind of upfront about that.
And who have you spoken to who has had a major disaster and had to say, I'm sorry?
Oh.
Now, would you like Kyle from the Kyle Jackie O Show?
No.
Would you ever want to talk to him?
No, of course not. No, he's kind of in his own little bubble of reality. And I have to be genuinely curious. I think that's the thing that I always use as a litmus test. I have to be really and authentically curious about that person and about the things that they've seen and done. Otherwise, I can't sustain that for an hour. I've had a couple of times. I think I've had a guest on every once, you know, where I thought I ought to have him on rather than being really genuinely interested. Mm. Oh, well, I ought to have him on. And you can hear, I listen back to myself and I sound, rather than bored, I sound kind of hyper because I'm trying to G myself up.
So does that normally come in about the 40-minute mark? How long do you normally get before you start to
20 minutes, yeah.
Ooh, wow. Then you got 40 to go.
Yeah, that's right. So that's not good for anyone, I don't think.
Look, a lot of other people have spoke about your republicanism as well. I think we should have a Bill of Rights in this country. You may agree with me, Richard, but I cannot ever see us ever getting one politically. I just don't think it's a too hard basket. Is the main blockage to a Bill of Rights is because you're giving too much power away?
I think when you want to introduce something like that, it's quite a complex discussion, I think. I think the United States has a Bill of Rights where they enshrine certain things like the right of freedom of speech, the right to bear arms, free association, a lot of different things that are kind of bread and butter rights, I think, that we take for granted. Now, there are kind of people in Australia who would say, well, if you codify that, if you put that into a Bill of Rights, it implies you can take it away. So it's better to leave these things implicit. I'm not sure if I agree with that or not, but rather than explicit, rather than actually put it down as a point of law. But of course, when we're writing a contemporary Bill of Rights, people want to put down all sorts of things that become contentious. My view is the whole point of a Bill of Rights is to actually have a whole list of rights that I reckon about 98% of the country can agree on.
Mm, yeah. And do you think that will ever come up politically again? Do you think it is just a too hard basket for that?
I think things would have to change kind of fundamentally, wouldn't they? Mm. I think we'd have to go through some kind of crisis. I don't know what that crisis would be. Mm. Some kind of strange military or environmental catastrophe might have to befall us. Mm. Or some kind of crisis that would force us to rethink how we live together in Australia and write a contract between ourselves and how we're going to live together in this country.
You're living currently in Queensland. You've always struck me as being a very Melbourne kind of guy. Do you ever want to see you working yourself way back there?
I'm kind of happy in Brisbane. Brisbane, I'm kind of entrenched there with my family now. I've got kids. They kind of like it there. There's something I like a lot about Brisbane, actually. I like it a lot more than I thought I would. So, I was a Melbourne guy for a lot of my life, yeah. But I've never really been kind of wedded to any one place. And I don't really feel of any one city. No. I think of myself as Australian very much. But I don't really feel myself wedded to any one city in particular because I grew up all over the place in Melbourne, Sydney, Canberra, Adelaide. And I lived in London for a while and went back to Melbourne, back to Sydney, Melbourne, and then Brisbane. So I think the upshot of that, I was talking about this with a guest called John Lanchester, who wrote, writer for the New York Times, a beautiful writer, and he was saying that's the thing we pay for in modern life, is that increasingly more and more people don't feel wedded to one place or feel of a place. But he said the other side of that is if you stay in the one place all your life and you don't ever go out and live elsewhere, you might find one day you wake up, look out the window, and you don't recognise the society you live in anymore because it's changed on you.
Something I always wanted to ask you too was about America. The Doug Anthony All-Stars going back was so phenomenally successful in Australia and the UK. Why not America? I know you did the Denver Festival a few times.
No, we did the Montreal Comedy Festival.
Montreal, right.
Just for Laughs in Canada. And we played in a couple of gigs in New York. Some went well, some didn't. I don't know. I don't think they were kind of ready for us.
Look, whenever I see the Concords, the Flight of the Concords, I shake my fist. I thought, that should have been you guys.
Oh, I don't have a problem with that. I'm fine. I think they're wonderful, and I think they deserve every bit of success. They're a lot drier and less confrontational than we were, I think.
Well, yeah, you guys would always try to sort of start a fight or appeared to want to start a fight during always the gigs.
I think when you do that in New York, it looks kind of like, why do you want to do this? Am I going to have to hit this person? It's a bit more serious than that, I think. So I think they just thought we were mean and nasty when we went to the United States. Maybe they'd feel differently about us now. Because, I mean, you think when punk rock started in the UK in 1975, 76, 77 with the Sex Pistols, finally with grunge, it's America getting used to the idea that you can do something like that in the early 90s. So what's that, 15 years it took or something, 15, 16 years?
Compare temporary groups with the kind of like Sex Pistols in the UK and television in the United States, two very different views on the same sort of genre.
That's right. I know. The thing about the Sex Pistols is they were top of the charts in the UK.
Yeah.
But, you know, television and Talking Heads and the Ramones, whenever, they were a small subculture in America.
Mm. Now, your place in Doug Anthony All-Stars was as the guy with the guitar, the sweet guy. You had Tim, who was the very egotistical one. Paul, he'd take you home and drink your blood. And you were the nice guy.
That's right. That seemed to be like an opening there for that. So I took that gig, yes.
I'd like to play something you guys did, and there's so many things you did. Is there something that you're particularly proud of as a song that we could play on the radio or play anywhere? Because I'm a big fan of a lot of your stuff, but you can't play it all on the radio.
No, you can't. We made a film clip to one of our songs called I Want to Spill the Blood of a Hippie. And I think that stands up pretty well, that film clip.
It does. Now, were you playing drums in that? There's something about the drums that go, hang on, that's someone who doesn't always play the drums. Was that you banging it out there?
No, it wasn't. I am a drummer, but I wasn't playing drums in that song. But I am having my hilariously half-assed stab at playing lead guitar in that too, because I was never a lead guitarist.
Was that your lead guitar break?
It was my filthy, messy lead guitar, which was kind of designed to be a bit like a parody of a Led Zeppelin lead guitar solo, because I could never properly play a Jimmy Page type lead guitar solo.
Was that all written by all of you? Because the lyrics seem as if they might be about Tim's parents in some ways, because his parents were a bit of hippies.
No, they weren't. Absolutely not. Definitely not. No, not at all. His parents were not hippies. Tim was kind of the first hippie in his family, I think. I think Tim wrote a verse of that and Paul wrote the second verse of that, as I recall. We had lots of different versions of it, actually. One that we performed as cabaret, as the comedy group that we were, but we changed the lyrics for the recording version because it seemed to suit it a bit more. Yeah.
Look, just to finish up, to me, you're someone that I think would be really valuable in, and don't take this the wrong way, ABC management, because you have done some ABC management work in the past and you're a guy who's got a good eye on the ball for comedy and for Australian development. Is there any chance you might move into management, either ABC or corporate, in the future? I know it's a big bow to draw, but just a guy, you've got it really together.
I think I'd rather be dipped in a giant bucket of elephant feces than do that, Maynard, to be perfectly honest.
Well, you have done a little bit in the past. Is it because it's actually constricting by what you can do or the type of way you've got to live your life to
there? Maynard, you're too kind. I'm actually not cut out for management. I mean, I was talking about this with Lee Sales the other day about this idea that when you're a manager, you realise people come to you with problems all the time that need to be solved. I got a lot of respect for managers after having tried to be one. I'm very happy doing what I'm doing now. And I just think being a manager, I'm not cut out for that at all.
The constant stress, or is just the fact that, oh, it's other people all the time?
It's kind of standing around watching other people have fun a lot of the time for me. And I didn't get the pleasure out of being a manager. I got the pleasure out of making and doing things.
I certainly enjoy, even to this day, in fact, I downloaded this on iTunes, Spill the Blood of a Hippie. It's great. From all your fans that have contacted me over the past couple of weeks, it's been great to chat to you again and to see you again, Richard Feidler.
Bless you, Maynard. Thank you.
Conversations with people I despise. I'm sick of free love and always quenching my desires. I'm sick of groovy, digging and like wow. I'm sick of it all. I want to crush, kill, destroy. I want to spill the blood of a hippie. I'm eager to stone a stone child from the 60s. I want a switchblade to cut their lovey. In space, space, space. She's jacked into the junk. She's got a velvet head. She's got as high on life. She's off her face, face, face. I say no more, Alex. This is terrible song. No more blowing in the wind, or I shall be relieved. No more, I've got this headache. No Christ, more. What's the use? I'm gonna get a gun and make my own kind of blood. I wanna spill the blood of a hippie. I'm eager to stand.
Area residential working.